We begin the current daven septus b'chayes daven and base. Begin on the bottom of the nalam base, three lines up at the bottom of the amud. Where the gemara continues with the next mishnah, continuing the theme of this parak of yesh b'chayr, which discusses the laws of b'chayr adam of a firstborn son. Where up until now we were discussing the laws as relates to pidna ben, the mitzvah of redeeming the firstborn son. Now regarding the other halacha that's unique about the firstborn son, regarding the laws of inheritance, with the firstborn son, the Torah says he gets a double portion. Which is, he gets his own portion, and as if there was another portion, and he gets that portion as if there was another son, he takes that double portion. So says the Mishnah, Habachar netel pishnayim benichsi ha'av. This halacha applies that he takes a double portion is only by the father's assets. Be'inay netel pishnayim benichsi'im, but he does not take a double portion by the mother's assets, which is nichsi milug. The mother has certain property that she brings into the marriage, and for all practical purposes, she retains ownership. The husband gets to use the payrus, the utility, but she owns it. When she dies, the children inherit it. However, regarding that, the son, the firstborn son, does not get a double portion. Moreover, if the properties of the father's estate increased in value after the father died, before it was divided amongst the children, the firstborn son does not take a double portion in that shvach, in that increase. Rather, what they do is that they evaluate the properties, what they were worth at the time that the father passed away. Now, the firstborn son, who's going to be taking a double portion in the lands, he takes that money's worth of value that it increased from the time that the father died till they finally divided, and those monies are divided equally amongst the older sons because he doesn't get a double portion in the increase that increased after the father's death. And also, regarding assets, that the father was not in possession of at the time that he died, but they were appropriate to be his and thus be bequeathed and inherited by his children, but they only came back into his property, only came into his property at a later point in time. Regarding that, the firstborn son, let's say 5 years after the father died, what was coming to him came to him. The firstborn son does not take a double portion, kibbe like something that he is in possession of at the time of his death, it's in the father's property, then the firstborn son takes a double portion, but not in what's called ro'u, what we know is going to come to the father, but it's not in his possession at the time of the death. Now, the Mishnah continues on top of Nun Bezim and Aleph, so too v'lo he'isha. Also, a woman does not take the shvach, the increase that her husband's estate increased, if the properties were not worth, at the time of her husband died, the value of how much is owed to her in her ksuba, and only after his death did they increase in value, she doesn't take biksubasa for the value of her ksuba, only how much it was worth at the time that he died, and additionally also the other halacha, she doesn't take bero'u kibamuchsi, she doesn't collect with her ksuba what her husband is going to get after he has died, but if he's not in possession at the time that he died, she's not able to collect her ksuba from that property. So too, v'lo habanis. Also, the daughters who the father had accepted responsibility when he married this woman who had a daughter from a previous marriage, he accepted responsibility for 5 years to support that daughter in sustenance. So those daughters cannot also be mezayin sehen, they cannot get their sustenance after that stepfather passed away, only according to how much the properties were worth at the time of the death. So she also doesn't get the shvach that increases afterwards and also doesn't get collecting b'ro'u what's going to come to him, but he's not muchzik at the time of his death. And so too, v'lo hayavim. Also, these don't apply to the yavim, who he also takes a double portion, because he takes his portion, and he takes the portion of his dead brother who died without any children, that he's miyabim. He marries his sister-in-law. He doesn't take in his brother's portion in the shvach and b'ro. He only takes what it was at the time of the death. And Mishnah concludes, v'kulam, and all these that were described, ein neitlim b'shvach, they don't take the increase after the death, v'loy b'rok b'muchzik, and neither do they take that which is going to come as those things which they take, which they're already in possession at the time of their death. Where the Gemara is going to explain why we're saying this. It seems redundant. We already said this halacha, that they don't take shvach and b'rok b'muchzik, and we said that all these are included. Why are we repeating it? So the Gemara says, my time opening up with the opening halacha of a mishnah regarding the Bukhar, that we said he doesn't take a double portion b'nichsi ha'im, only b'nichsi av. What's the reason? Says the Gemara, because Amakra, the pasuk says, it says, because he's the first of his vigor, talking about the father, the firstborn son is the first vigor of his father. And the pasuk says, taking out the vav, loy mishpat ha'bukhar, to him is the ruling of the firstborn. Loi sounds like it's going back on the main character of the pasuk, which is the father, the person, and it's saying that in the father's assets, that's where you have the law of the firstborn, but not in the properties of his wife. So therefore, that tells us mishpat habachir l'ish, the law of judgment of a firstborn applies only to a man, meaning to the father. But the law of the firstborn does not apply to the woman, to the mother's estate. There's no law of bechir taking a double portion. Now, additionally, we said the firstborn son does not take the increase that happened after the father passed away. Why? Because the chesiv, the pasuk says devarim, and this is the pasuk that teaches us this halacha of losses like pishnayim, give him a double portion of what? Says the pasuk b'chalashe yimatziloi, whatever is found to him, and we said that the main character of the pasuk is the father, which is found to him at the time of his death, which excludes the shvach that happens after he's dead, and that he doesn't get a double portion. And similarly, like we said in the Mishnah, b'liberokah b'muchzik, it doesn't take something that the father is going to get, it's only what he's in possession of right now, because the chesiv, the pasuk says b'chalashe yimatziloi, whatever is found to him right now, what's bero, he doesn't have right now, and therefore he doesn't get a double on that even. Now the Mishnah then continued and said, "Anoso v'loye isha b'ksubasa." A woman also far ksuba also could only collect what the father, what her husband has at the time of the death, not the shvach that happens afterwards, and she can't collect the ksuba from either bero. She doesn't get either from. Now on that the Gemara asks, "Is that really so?" But V'amar Shmuel said that balchayiv, a creditor, meaning if someone lent his friend money, and that borrower had assets which are meshubed, are indebted to the lender. But he went and sold it off to someone else. And then the one who bought that land from that borrower, he increased the value of those lands. Shmuel said, Gaiva, that the creditor could collect not only the body of that land, but also Esa Shevach. He also he could collect the increase of the value that the lekech, that the consumer made to that land, because that land is indebted to him, and he could even take the Shvach for collection of his debt. Now, a woman is a creditor with her ksuba. So seemingly she should also be able to collect from the shvach that happens after it was passed from the debtor that owed her the money, which is the husband. And she should be able to collect her shvach, her ksuba, from even the shvach. So Rabbi says, you're right. Generally, the Baal Chayv could collect the shvach, but mekule ksuba shanukan. This is teaching us one of the leniencies of the ksuba, which is, as Rabbi Negeshon points out, we know other places in Shas, there are certain leniencies regarding the collections of the ksuba, that although generally a creditor collects from bainis, from the middle grade of fields, but a woman only collects from ziburis, as the Gemara says in Gittin Lam Chesma Beis. She also cannot collect without a oath, as the Gemara says in Gittin Lam Dalma Beis. So that's what our Gemara is telling us. That also over here in our Mishnah is telling us another leniency, that meaning she has lesser powers than a regular Baal Chayv, because a woman really wants to get married, and therefore we don't give her so many rights in the sense of a collector, where she cannot collect from the shvach. You're right, although a regular Baal Chayv could, but a woman, in regarding a ksuba, doesn't have such power to be able to collect, and therefore that's what the halacha of the Mishnah is saying, that she cannot collect from the shvach after her husband's death. Additionally, the Mishnah said, v'lo habanis b'bzayinasan. Also, the stepdaughters, who were promised 5 years of sustenance, they can't collect that sustenance from the shvach or bero. Says the Gemara, my time, why? Says the Gemara, because tanai ksuba, any stipulation of the ksuba document, which when he was marrying this woman, in the ksuba, part and parcel of that is the promises that he's making for when he's marrying her, which includes providing for her previous daughter for 5 years, is ksuba dami, has the same limitations of the ksuba. And just like we said, mikuli ksuba shanukan, that the ksuba cannot collect from shvach and ro, so too the mezainis of the bonus is also limited with that limitation. Mishnah said also, v'lo ha-yavim. Also the yavim, although he gets a double portion, which from his father's assets, which he gets not only his portion of his father's, but also from his dead brothers, who he was miyabim, that his brother's wife, so he doesn't get that from that double portion, the shvach that comes after death, or bero. Says Gemara, my time, what's the reason? Because b'chir kariach mana, the Torah calls the Yavam, he calls him a Bechir. Now the Pasuk Dvarim Chaf Hei Vav, when it's simply, literally translated, sounds like, it says, B'hoya Bechir Asher Teled, sounds like that it's going on the child of the union of the Yavam and the Yavama. The firstborn son that they have will be called after the name of the brother who passed away, and therefore his name will not be erased. However, the interpretation is actually, when it says, V'hoya Bechir Asher Teled, the Gemara in Yavama Sav Chadal Maralf explains actually that Bechir is referring to the Yavam. Now, why is it referring to the Yavam? Because initially, the Torah is telling us that the mitzvah of Yibim should be done with the older brother, which is the Bechir. But when it says, V'hoi Bechir Asher Teled, actually, Asher Teled is telling us that they should be able to have children, because Yibim doesn't apply if the sister-in-law is an islandist. And it's saying b'chaya b'char, that yavam asher teled, that what the pasuk says, yakam al shem achav. But one thing is that we see that the yavam is called the b'char, which tells us that he has a same halacha like the b'char. And just like we said for the b'char, when he takes his double portion, it's actually limited that he doesn't get shvach and roh. So to the yavam, when he takes his double portion, that he takes not only his share in the father's estate, but also his dead brothers, that also has the limitation, he doesn't take the shvach that happened after the father's death, and also doesn't take baroh kibimuchs. Now, Am Abaye qualifies, and he says, but lo yishon, we didn't learn this teaching, only the increase that the properties had increased between the death of the brother and his doing yibum. But if the brother had already done yibum with his dead brother's wife, and it just they didn't get to divide the properties yet of the dead brother, which includes the assets of the father, which the older sons inherit, then actually, if he really did Yibum, even though it wasn't divided yet, he will take the Shvach and the Roh. My time, what's the reason? Because Yakum Hashem Achav HaMesam Rachman, like we said, that although the simple translation of that is going on the son, which is the new son from that new union, it's actually going on the Yavam. V'hoye Bechar, if this Yavam, Asher Teled, which is with the sister-in-law that could have children, Yakum Hashem Achav, what does that mean? The Yavam will take the place of his brother, which is the laws of inheritance. As the Gemara in Yavamis tells us over there, that the Torah is calling the Yavam a Bechar, which we're saying that he has the laws like a Bechar, which is that he doesn't take Bero, he doesn't take the Shvach, but that's if that was between the death of the, meaning regarding the assets, between the death of their father and the Yibim that he was doing, if he didn't do Yibim yet. But in this situation that he really did Yibim, they just didn't divide the father's estate, Vahari Kam. The moment that he marries his brother's wife, he already took the place of getting a double portion in his brother's estates. So therefore, actually, when it is mashbiach, it's actually being mashbiach in his property, in his estate, because he already took over his brother's estate, and therefore he's going to take a double portion even in the shvach. Therefore, Abaye says, there he's not going to be limited because it's like his own property. It's not considered something like taking a double portion from the father. But Rav Amar disagrees. He says, no, afilu debein yibum lechaluka namar leshakel, even what's between the Yibum process, meaning even if he did Yibum with his sister-in-law, but they didn't divide yet the estate, he's not going to take. My time, what's the reason? Because Kibachar. You said that the Yavim is called like a firstborn, and Ma Bachar in Lekoidim Chaluka, just like the firstborn. He doesn't get the Shvach or the Roh, whatever was before was divided. Whatever's divided, yes, so that's his already. So even though it didn't come yet, but that's his, part of his property. But until Chaluka, he doesn't get. So av yavim na ein loy koidim chaluka. So to the yavim, we don't say, oh, once he does yibim, it's already his, and whatever happens is his. No, we say that he doesn't have his brother's portion until, like a bechor, whatever, it wasn't divided yet and literally in his domain, it's not going to be considered his, and therefore he's still not going to get the shvach and the roh, even if he did yibim already, until the actual thing is divided, and he ultimately gets it already in his bank. Then the Mishnah said, as we alluded to, that seems to be superfluous, it ends up the mission of a kulam ein loy l'mishvach. And all of them, all these that we described, the Bechar, and the woman for Ksuba, and the daughter with her mezainis, and the Yavam, they don't take with Shvach the increase that happens after the death. Now, so the Gemara continues on the base and is explaining what's the redundancy for. So Lasui is coming to add on another dimension, that's coming to include even Shivcha d'memela, even an automatic passive increase which the brothers had not put an effort into making it better. For example, chafura v'haba shuvli. If there was grain that was shachas, which is very small, just beginning, at the time of the death. But now, when they're coming to divide, it became full-fledged grain. Or shalfufi v'haba tamri. Or if it was just budding, and now it's full-fledged dates, that's what the Sefer of the Mishnah is coming to tell us and adding on, that even such automatic increase, still the firstborn's not going to take a double portion, rather he's going to take just like one of the brothers, and we're going to evaluate what it was worth at the time that the father passed away, and in regards to that value is where he takes a double portion. Because if we only had the halacha from the Reisha, so I would have said that when do we say the firstborn does not take a double portion in the shvach that it increased after the father's death? That's because the brothers were working on it. For example, they fertilized the field and they were hoeing and they were doing all this work. So that's not your portion from the father. That we, the brothers, made it better. So for that, you shouldn't take a double portion. But regarding what happens by itself, we would say that's an automatic increase of whatever everyone has, and that includes his double portion. That was saying that even that shevchah b'meila, no, it ends when his father dies. After that, he doesn't take that shvach. And so too, in the Mishnah said, "V'loy baroka b'muchzik," which we already knew already, that all these parties cannot take what's going to come, like what is already in possession at the time of the death. That's lasuyi nichsi da'avi abba. That comes to include even the estate of their father's father, of the grandfather. Meaning, if their father's father was alive at the time when their father passed away. Now, the properties of the grandfather are ro'u. They know that when he passes away, the grandfather, even if there's another son, but ultimately they know for sure, definitively, that it's going to come to them an inheritance, and they're going to take their father's portion. So I would have thought to say that's literally kamuchzik, they're in possession of it, because they know for sure they're getting it. That's what the sefer has to repeat it and say, no, that's still ro, and it's not like muchzik, and therefore the bechor is not going to take a double portion in the grandfather's estate, because if he only had the halacha from the reisha, which already said that they can't take ro kibbe muchzik, I would have said that what is the beginning of the Mishnah mean when it says ro, that the firstborn cannot take a double portion? That's, for example, if let's say they inherit their father's brother, who at the time when he died, that when their father died, their uncle, their father's brother, had children. But then their uncle's sons passed away, and then the uncle passed away. Which those properties, which ultimately is coming to them, because he doesn't have any sons, and his brother inherits him, but his brother's not alive, so his brother's children inherit him. So we would have thought to say, okay, that's where, at the time when their father passed away, that wasn't definitive, because their uncle had sons at the time their father passed away. So they didn't know for sure that that's going to come. That's a situation of doubt. That would say that's ro, which ultimately ends up coming. That's not kibbeh muchzik. But when they know for sure it's coming, we would say that's like muchzik, and the firstborn would take a double portion. That's why we have to repeat it, to say, no, even that situation, it's ultimately ro, and the firstborn does not take a double portion, even to those properties. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme that relates to this inheritance of the firstborn son regarding his double portion. So, and then includes other halachas in this category. The Mishnah tells us, "Ve'elu she'in chayzim b'yevul." Regarding these elements, although there's halacha when someone gets someone else's steachuza, ancestral field, which is inherited from father, all the way back to the days of Yishuv Benun when they divided Eretz Yisrael, and by the Yevul year, you have to give it back to the person who got it from, that it stays in their family. However, the Mishnah tells us there are certain exceptions that, although it's a transfer of possession, it doesn't go back to the original owner in the Yevul year, which is every 50 years. They are Habachaira, the firstborn son, that double portion that he's getting, that it's not going to be going back like someone who bought a Steachuza from someone else. Someone inherits his wife. Or someone does even to his brother's wife, where we said he takes his brother's portion, that's a bona fide inheritance, and that doesn't go back to the other brothers in the Yevul year. And Vahamatana, someone gets a gift, he gets to keep it, doesn't go back in the Yevul year, that's Dibri Meir. Now, Vachachamim, they disagree on one of them. They say this last one, Hamatana is Kemecha. They say, no, a gift is like a sale, and just like a sale goes back to the rightful owner in the Yevul year, so too does a gift. Rabbi Laza, in the third opinion, he says, Kulim Chayzim B'Yevul. He says, actually, all the cases you described, they actually do go back into the Yevul year. Now, B'Yechim Reikel, he says, Hayerish Es Ishta, he gives an exception to this law, someone who inherits his wife. He says, Yachzer, actually, those lands, the husband has to give back, L'B'nei Mishpachta, to his wife's family, for money, meaning he'll sell it back to them. But he has to deduct a little bit from that price that he's selling them back, the land, as the Gemara will explain this halacha. Now the Gemara first says, my time in Reb Meir, what's the reason Reb Meir, regarding all these categories that he said, that they're an exception to the rule of going back to the rightful owner in the Yevul year? So he says, because Mecher Hudam Rachman al Hadam Yevul. It's only regarding a sale that the Torah tells us that the Steachuza, the karka, the ancestral field, has to go back to the rightful owner in the Yevul year. But matana v'yirushalay, but a gift which is not a sale, or inheritance which is not a sale, doesn't go back. And therefore, v'hani mirusha yirusha, those things that are inheritance. And the matana, those things that are a gift, which both of those categories don't go back, as the Gemara explains. Bachar, the firstborn son's double portion, it says, losses like Pishnaim, to give him a double portion. Matan lekari rachman. The Torah is calling it a gift. And like we said, a gift doesn't go back. So too, when the Mishnah said, Vayirish a sister, when your mayor says, someone inherits his wife, Yirish is about Dairaisa. The inheritance of a husband inheriting his wife is a biblical halacha. Like it says in the pasuk, L'she'eri ha'karu la mimishpachtoi, to the relative that's close to him from his family, B'yarish oisa, he inherits her. From here says the Gemara, Babasuk of Yeralvam and Beis, that we see that there's a biblical law that a husband inherits his wife. So, like we said, Yerusha is not included in the sale, and therefore it doesn't go back in the Gable year. So too, he said, V'hamayav mes esh asach, if someone does yibim to his brother's wife, that estate does not go back to the other brothers because Bechir Karechmana. The Torah, as we said on the Medalv, calls the Yavim a Bechir. And like we said, just like a Bechir, it says losses, it's considered Matana. So to his is considered Matana, which does not go back in the Yabal year. Now, but Vachachama Maimir Matana Kemecher. Meaning, and obviously a gift is like a gift, we said is also excluded. But the Chacham, they disagreed. They said, no, a gift is like a sale. And just like a sale goes back, so to a gift. Says, my Tamei de Rabban, what's the reason Rabbanim? Because teshuvu, it says in the pasuk, teshuvu ishal chazasik, that every man goes back to his ancestral field in the Yevil year. Now that's an extra pasuk, because the pasuk already says in Meyikah Chafei, v'shavtim ishal chazasik, you should turn every man to his ancestral field. So what's this pasuk coming to say? Therefore, it's l'rabes esamatam, that's coming to include not only a sale, but also a gift. Now, therefore, v'hani, all these other cases of the Mishnah, the reason why the Rabban agree that they don't go back, although he says that matana does go back, is because he says, Kulu Yerushan, in the Rabban hold, that actually all the cases in the Mishnah besides Matana are all cases of inheritance. Why? Because Bechayr Amakra, he's not inferring from the word losses, which Rabmei we said holds in Matana, because he holds actually Matana that wouldn't go back, that would go back. No, Bechayr Amakra, the Torah says regarding the firstborn son, losses like Pishnaim, to give him a double portion. So therefore Makish, what the Pasuk is, it's comparing the two portions one to the other. It's comparing Chelik Bechir to Chelik Pashin, his double portion of the firstborn to his regular portion as a regular brother. Now, Ma Chelik Pashin Yerusha, just like the regular portion he gets, is an inheritance, like the Pasuk says, Biyam Hanchil Ezbanav, on the day that he bequeathed inheritance to his sons, which we said Yerusha doesn't go back. Af Chelik Bechir Yerusha is comparing it, saying also his double portion of the firstborn is also considered inheritance, and therefore that doesn't go back. And so too, the Chacham held that Yerusha, so the Baal of the wife, is Dairaisa, and therefore that's Yerusha, that doesn't go back. And also, like we said, the Yavam, the Torah calls him a Bechir, and just like the Chacham are holding that a Bechir is considered Yerusha, so too a Yavam is considered a Yerusha. Now, a third opinion, the Mishnah said, Rebbe Lazarim, he says, Kulam Chayisim B'Yavam, says, no, actually, all the cases you described do go back to the rightful owners in the Yavam year. Now, the reason for this, says the Gemara, is because Savalak Rabbanan. Rabbi Lazar held like the Rabbanan, the army that they said, Teshuvu the Rabbis as a Matana, that actually the extra Pasuk Teshuvu says that not only does a sale go back on Yevil, but also a gift goes back. And Vahani Kula Matanan, and he describes actually all the cases of the Mishnah, they're all considered gifts, which do go back. Bechor, because lost is like Pishnaim. Like we said, the first one says, to give him a double portion, Matana Karechmana, Torah is calling it a gift, which like he holds like the Rabbanan, that it goes back. Bahayirish Asishta, he holds that someone who inherits his wife, Yerusha Sabal Dirabbanan. He holds that the inheritance of the husband of the wife is only rabbinic, and therefore it's considered like a gift, which goes back. And the Hamayab Mes Esh HaSachiv, someone who does Yibim to his brother's wife, Bechir Karechmana, like we said, the Torah called the Yavam a Bechir, and just like he holds that the Bechir is considered a gift, so to the Yavam is considered a gift, which, like Dirabbanan, go back in the Gevul year. Now, the Gemara brings a halacha that relate back to the halacha of our Mishnah. Amr Basi, Amr Biechna, it says, Ha'achen Shechalku, when brothers divide inheritance, l'kuchisen, they're considered actually not inheritors, but actually consumers, because, as many times mentioned in Shas, because you can't clarify exactly knowing whose is really the portion that was supposed to go to which brother. So essentially, it's like each brother selling his portion to the other brother, which is like as if they're buying one from the other, from the estate. And therefore, machzirin zelazeh b'yevel. Therefore, they actually return it back to the estate in the Yevel year. And then they go ahead and they redivide again, and then every 50 years it goes back, and then they redivide again, because they're like lekuchas, like they're buying from each other, which goes back, and then they have to go ahead and separate again every year. Now, however, on this halacha, Meisir Rav Hoysher. Hoysher asked from our Mishnah. We said in the Mishnah, Ve'elu she'en chayzim yevel, these are categories, cases, that don't go back in the Yevel year, and one of them, the first one was Habachayra, the portion of the firstborn son, which we see, the inheritance, the sons, which we're saying that the double portion is like the first portion, that we see that that's considered a Yerusha, which doesn't go back, and it's not considered like Lekuches, which refutes this halacha of Rabbi Yechanan. Adam le Rablazer. Rablazer said to him, no, my ein chayzin. What do we mean the Mishnah says that the firstborn portion, that it doesn't go back in the Yevil year? It means ein chayzin levatala. It doesn't go back to be a nullification, meaning it's not that he's going to lose his firstborn double portion rights, but it does go back and it's redivided. It's just that then he takes a double portion like he took in the first place. But yes, you actually do have to redo it again. And when we said ein chayzrin, it just means he doesn't lose it, but you have to redo it because they actually are lekuchas. However, maskler of Sheshir, Rav Sheshir asked on this answer of Rabbi Elazar. Mechlal, then the inference is, the way you're interpreting the Mishnah, is demanda machayzrin, then the other opinion, that of Rabbi Elazar, that says they're all chayzrin b'yayvul, including the case of the Bechayr. So chayzrin levatala comes, and what are you saying? That he means to say that not only does it go back to redo it, that actually that the firstborn then loses his rights for the firstborn portion? How can you say such a thing? That seems to say that he only gets it for the first 50 years, but really the firstborn doesn't get a double portion forever? So Kari Rav Chama led Rav Sheshes. So Rav Chama recited the following pasuk in Keheles on this question of Rav Sheshes, which the pasuk says, Toiva Chachma Im Nachla, that it's good to have the sharp understanding of wisdom together with the inheritance of the brises. Meaning, because Rav Sheshes was the one who knew all the brises, all the Tanoic texts of the brises. What he was alluding to was saying that had Rav Sheshes heard the Amarok interpretation that we're going to shortly say, which is the Chachma, with his Nachle, inheritance of the brises, then he wouldn't have asked anything. Because, as the Gerus says, he didn't hear the following Amarok interpretation. When Ravan came, he said the name of Rabbi Yechon, and some say it was Rabbi Elazar Amar Mishum Rabbi Elazar Ben Shemua, that you're right, my chayzin, what does Rabbi Elazar mean in our Mishnah? When he says that all of them go back in the Yevil year, including that of the Bechayr, it's chayzin levatala. When it says by the Bechayr it goes back and actually nullifies, yes, the Bechayr after 50 years loses his rights for the double portion, and then it's only divided equally amongst all the brothers in the Yevil year. Now, the Mishnah said, concluding that Rabbi Yechon ben Mareko Eimer, he said, Hayerish es ishtoi yachz lebnei v'chulu. So, if someone inherits his wife, he has to give back to the family the land, and although they pay him back for that value, he has to deduct from that payment. Now, the Gemara wonders, Mike, but what does Rabbi Yechon ben Mareko hold? Iksav, which we pointed out these two different opinions in the Tanaim of our Mishnah. Iksav, Yerushas Habal Dairaisa, if he holds that when a husband inherits the wife, that's a biblical law. Why is he giving her back, her family back the land? Biblically, it's his. Now, Iksav, Yerushas Habal Dairabanan, if really it's that he holds that the inheritance of the husband is only rabbinic, which is like a gift, which is then you're saying he holds it has to go back by the Yevil year. So, Damimai Vedetai, so why are they paying it for it? It has to go back as is, and he doesn't get any money for it. So why is he giving it back, but they're paying him for it? Says the Gemara, "Lo'im k'sabi Yerushas Habal Dairaisa." The truth is that he holds that the inheritance of the husband is biblical, and he should really be able to keep it and not have to give it back. But v'hachma iskina, what are we talking about over here in the Mishnah that we said he has to give it back to the family? Is k'goyin she'rishasei ishte beis hakvaras. Part of the inheritance he inherited from his wife was her plot in the cemetery. And because it's a disgrace for the family, that now some outsider here gets in the family plots, so therefore Amar Rabban and Lishkol Demevel Hadar. So therefore the rabbi said that he should have to take money for that instead and give the plot back to his wife's family. Look at the time, like Linda Brysa. If someone sells his grave or the path to his grave to someone else, or Makam Amadi, the place of where they make this seven stops for the dead person as they're going along the burial. Or Ubesa Spade, he sells the place of where they eulogize him. So the halacha is boim b'nei mishpacha, so the family members now come, and against the will of the consumer who bought that, they bury the dead person against his will. Because it's a disgrace for the family to some outsider here to take away this family member's area from the grave. So the Gemara wonders, okay, fine. So we understand that he has to give it back and they compensate. But why did the Mishnah say that he has to deduct from the price? He should be able to get full value of what's rightfully biblically his, like we said, Yerushas Habal Dairaisa. Says the Gemara, what he deducts is Demei Kever Ishtei, is the value of the burial of his wife. Because like the Gemara Ksubis of Mem Zayin Beis says, he has an obligation to bury her. So that's his expense. And therefore, that expense, which is supposed to be his, that he has to pay for that, that he deducts from that, where he's not going to get the full value from the family, but everything else, that they do compensate him for the land, because really, biblically, rightfully, it's his, but since it's become kamishbach, he gives it back, so they have to pay him, but again, they deduct that value, which is anyways the husband's own obligation of bearing his wife. Hanulach yesh bachar. shall return to you. The 8th parak of Masechet Bechoris, parak Yishbechor, which again spoke primarily about these halachas of Masechet Bechoris, of the firstborn as they relate to Bechor Adam, the firstborn son, which primarily have these two halachas, that of Pinya Ben, of redeeming their firstborn son, and also the laws of Yerusha, of inheritance, that the firstborn son gets a double portion in his father's estate.